This is All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Sean Carlson. For the last 10 years, Elaine Leinung has been living with the last recording of her son's voice, his call to 911 from the World Trade Center's North Tower after it was struck on 9/11. Now, 15 years after the attack, she wants to make the tape public. Here's a few seconds of that call now, and as you can imagine, some may find it disturbing.
Hi. It's hard to talk.
Yeah.
There's a lot of smoke.
Right.
We're all overreacting. Please come right now.
What floor are you on?
100 Northeast.
Right. Okay, so what's your phone number there?
Sir, I'm on a cell phone.
All right, no problem. We'll get to you.
Please, immediately.
They're on the way.
Bye.
That's 22-year-old Paul Battaglia calling from his office on the 100th floor of Tower 1. He and 358 of his colleagues at the firm Marsh & McLennan died at the World Trade Center. Paul's mom, Elaine, joins us now to talk about her son and her decision to release his 911 call. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi.
First, tell us how the 911 tape came to you, Paul's call from the tower.
One of Paul's friends called me shortly after 9/11 to tell me that Paul made a 9/11 call that went through. So I called Verizon, and then I got a supervisor, and she said that they didn't have permission to release it. Now, why I wanted this, people said, why do you want it? But I just wanted to know. I don't know why. And so I kept calling different agencies. And then about 5 years after that, I got a call asking me to come down and listen. So for several years after that, I used to play it on 9/11.
And the process took 5 years to get the actual tape?
It did.
What did they say when you finally got it? I mean, how did that happen?
I went down there, and a woman was behind the desk, and she played the tape, and she was even crying.
What was it like for you to hear it for the first time?
Very shocking. My dad, we had a multi-generational household and a two-family house, and he was very upset when I even started to play it, and he ran away. And he said, please don't let the children hear it. And I told them about it, and they chose not to hear it. And I told my niece, Tracy, on Staten Island, whose father, Harry, worked for Marsh, and he was also killed that day. She heard it. And I said, I can't possibly let anybody hear this until my dad's passed and until the kids are older. But she and I both felt it was part of history, and it should be somewhere. And then it was the 15th anniversary was coming up, and the children are older, and my father is gone. And for some reason, I just felt it should be remembered, and he should be remembered.
When you heard that the phone call for the first time, and you were listening through it, what did it tell you about your son in terms of the tone of his voice and what he was going through at the time?
Oh, I knew he was very scared. And it was heartbreaking for a mother to know I couldn't be there. And I couldn't do anything. But it impressed me that he made the call, that he was articulate, and as he usually was, trying to be precise about where he was, letting people know there were other people in the room with him, and that he was trying to keep people calm.
Paul was he was 22 when he died on 9/11, and he was not long out of college at SUNY Binghamton. Tell us about him.
Paul loved to make phone calls, and I heard from him every day, several times a day. He would be at school calling me, walking in between classes, and then it was the time when cell phones cost money, so he would go, you have 1 minute, Elaine, because he would call me
he
Elaine.
He would call you Elaine.
Yeah, he always called me Elaine. Sometimes if he was annoyed with me or just to tease me. You know, Paul was a very kind of fun, loving guy, very public. He had his own radio show up at Binghamton, WHRW. He was a manager for the radio station. Even though he was in business, he was a communicator and a character, full of energy, full of funny, always playing practical jokes. And as you know, one of his things was to call me up when I was completely unaware and harass me. And then say, don't curse, you're on the air. And I would be like, what? Why am I on the air?
I was making it suspenseful.
You're very suspenseful.
Listening.
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Nothing.
You're live on the radio. Don't curse. Why do you always say that to me?
Because you have the tendency sometimes when we talk on the phone, when you're not on the radio, you just throw obscenities.
Are you alive now as you're saying this to me?
Yes, I'm live now saying
this. You're embarrassing.
Mom, the reason I'm calling you is because it's your birthday in 2 days, and we're not going to get to talk about it again. And,
I didn't want to talk about it. Did you have to tell the entire world?
I didn't tell them how old you are. Would you like me to do that?
No!
It's just really a good time and a lot of fun. We loved going up to Binghamton, seeing the radio station. He was thrilled to be there. Then he met the young woman he was very in love with and was planning very shortly to ask her to be his fiance. And so that was, I felt, another loss for me and a loss for him.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your memories with us.
Thank you for having me.
Elaine Linung's son, Paul Battaglia, died at the World Trade Center on 9/11.